Side Hustle Show 123, Time Hacking for Side Hustlers, how to get more hours, clarity, and results.
Welcome to the Side Hustle Show,
where it would be inappropriate on a show about productivity to let the intro guy go on for even just another 10 seconds. Hey everybody, Nick Loper here. Welcome to the Side Hustle Show. This is episode 123, Time Hacking for Side Hustlers. How to get more hours, clarity, and results. Perfect timing on this one. Just finished up an excellent book called 80-20 Sales and Marketing by Perry Marshall. Like other 80-20 books before it, it's all about focusing on that narrow band of hours and activities that really drive the bulk of your business and happiness, right? And for side hustlers, I kind of want to call your attention to the 80-20 of the 80-20, which is the 4% of your inputs that theoretically drives 64% of your output. And so this show is about identifying those opportunities and knowing through your pre-planning exactly what to do when you find your side hustle time throughout the day. So my guest today is a former Army officer turned productivity consultant, online entrepreneur. She hosts the Time Hackers podcast, where she actually says, "We don't have an intro because I would never waste your time," which guilted me into cutting off the voiceover guy for this episode. So I absolutely love it. I'm excited to introduce my good friend, Julie Sharon-Osher. I first met Julie a couple years ago at World Domination Summit, and really looking forward to hanging out with her again this summer at Podcast Movement. And she's flying out to Texas for that event all the way from Israel. So look forward to hanging out. You can learn more about Julie and her podcast at imjulie.com, which of course I'll link to in the show notes at sidehustlenation.com/123. While you're over there, be sure to grab the free downloadable PDF on all the notes and highlights from this call. All right, ready? Let's get into it. We started this conversation from the standpoint of the person who doesn't even, like they say, I have a hard time managing my time because I don't even know the first step. And Julie had some interesting thoughts on that.
We really should stop looking for perfection and start looking for what is really important. Being honest with yourself with what you're trying to achieve is step number one. It's like a chess game. It doesn't really, and if we have chess lovers in the audience, please don't throw things at me for what I'm about to say, but it's like it doesn't really matter what your very first move is going to be if you're the first player starting a match in chess. Because whatever it is, it's just, you're just trying to drive response from your opponent. And this is what we're trying to do. We're trying to get some sort of feedback from the universe, from your clients, from your customers, from the people around you, from the readers of your blog, listeners of your podcast. We're trying to feel what is the right thing to do. And you know what? Even if you get like a horrible response and people say, boo, this is not what we want, this is crap, you're still in a better position. You know what? Because this is not a beauty contest. Now you know which path not to go. And it doesn't testify anything about you or your abilities. It just means that you are one step closer to finding the right thing to focus on. And I promise you, most chances are that no one's going to boo you anyways.
So there's actually two groups, right? So there's the group of people who say, hey, look, I have more ideas than I'm ever going to have time to execute on. I don't know which one to pick. And they all sound awesome to me. And then there's the other person who's maybe earlier on in their journey and says, hey, I would like to have a side hustle. I would like to be an entrepreneur, but I really don't know where to start. And you're making the argument, it doesn't matter, just start something. But it's like, I don't know. I don't even know what that something could be. And I've had those moments too, where it's like, man, if I just had that one idea. It kind of brings to mind a quote from Ryan Finley, who was on the show a few months ago, talking about buying and selling stuff on Craigslist. And he's like, hey, look, the best opportunities aren't even visible until you're already in motion. And I think that's kind of what you're getting at with the, you know, kind of call and response, like put something out there, see what the feedback is. Any insight for that person who is just at the very beginning, like, hey, look, I don't have any idea. Like, I don't know what that first move even would be.
Well, the safest bet that I would choose would be to choose something that's close to you. So probably you have a job at the moment, right? Probably you're still working for someone and you're good at something because someone is paying you good money for it. So you can try to stick within this area, within this niche, and try to see, okay, what are people's needs. What are the people that I work with, do they need? So it might be your coworkers, it might be your clients, it might be your bosses. And you can even take something that already has a solution and just improve it by just a little bit. And if you are an expert and if you work in this field, chances are that you already know what it is that needs improvement, and chances are that you can improve it. And I'm not talking about, you know, creating a new patent or inventing the wheel. This is not what I talk about. For example, I have a great friend. He made amazing, amazing success. He created a six-figure business within a year by going on Amazon, looking for what people are buying the most, like what is trending right now on Amazon, finding the most popular product, seeing like, okay, so people are buying the sleeping mask. Okay, so what if I can make the sleeping mask just a tad tighter so it will actually prevent any type of light from coming through? And he obviously came from the world of talking to manufacturers, and he knew how to do this. So he contacted them, checked how much it will cost him, and started selling them for just a couple of pennies more than the best-selling product on Amazon was. And he made a lot of money just from doing what he did. Now, I'm not telling you guys, head over to Amazon and start selling sleep masks. No. But he knew that what he knows best is how to talk to manufacturers. He understood how Amazon works. So he used that to find something that's already out there, a product that already has demand, improved it a little bit using skill that he already had, and sold it. You can apply this method to almost anything. And because you start within your niche, you don't need to be cold calling anyone, and people actually trust you.
Yeah, I like that. I like that analogy. Let's talk about the time management aspect of this. Like, hey, I'm working full time. I got a family. I'm trying to take care of my health as well, and that doesn't leave me with a lot of hours left in the day to work on my business. So, what's the time hacker methodology for making the most of those hours?
Okay, so I want to divide time into two groups. So there is your work time and there is your personal time. So work time is whenever you're at your job, whether it's from home or at the office, and everything else, which includes your sleeping hours, your family time, working out, gym, food, whatever, anything. I want to tell everyone out there that every day you get 24 hours. So what it means is that it doesn't matter how you used your 24 hours yesterday, you get to start afresh every single day. And this is the most optimistic and encouraging thing in the universe, because it doesn't matter how badly you did yesterday, you get to start fresh today. How cool is that? Like, it doesn't happen with money.
Yeah, you don't have to wait for January 1st to come around. You can make a new day resolution. I like that.
Like anything in life, managing time is a skill. And obviously we don't manage time, we manage our actions within the 24 hours that we have. When we talk about managing time, you want to fit in your 24 hours first, the things that must happen. Those things that if they don't happen this day, there will be severe consequences. For example, you need to sleep.
Okay.
This is a necessity. Okay. And no one, I bet that like maybe 10% of our listeners were thinking about it. Like when I say necessities, people, okay, I need to pick up my kids from school. Yeah, you do. It's a necessity as well. But so is sleeping.
Do you ever hear this story? I don't know if this is true or not, but apparently, you know, 200 years ago, Napoleon decided that sleep was a waste of time. And he made it apparently 36 hours before he just like passed out on his face, and his generals were like, yeah, maybe you should get some rest, big guy. I don't know if that's true or not, but I thought it was a funny story.
If you don't remember anything from this interview, remember this. The best thing that you can do for your productivity, for your business, and for your revenue is to get at least 7 hours of sleep and drink plenty of water. Seriously. This affects the way your brain works. And no matter of time hacking in the world is going to help you if you sleep 3 hours and drink only coffee or 2 glasses of water. Nothing's going to help you. I mean it. I tried it. So everyone at home, do the following exercise. It's called the 3 lists of clarity. And this will give you a ton of understanding what you should be investing your time in. So even if you never learn how to prioritize, this will give you an idea of what your day should look like. So first, write down all the things that you are committed to. And committed to means that you can't wiggle your way out of them. So if you have a 9-to-5 job, this is one of them. If you have children and you have responsibilities like teacher-parent meetings or picking them up or going to their matches or whatever it is, this goes there.
Okay.
If you have a commitment, so if you and your wife have a commitment that you mow the lawn and she does the dishes, mowing the lawn, because this is your commitment and this is something that you do. And even if it takes you 25 minutes, it's still something that will take up time. So outline all the things that are necessities. Now, don't overcrowd this list. Before you put anything on this list, ask yourself, like, if something happened, like if something in my life suddenly changed and I had to go to a different state to visit my parents or to check up on a good friend, will I be able to postpone doing this thing, this project, this task? And if the answer is yes, it's not a commitment. It's not a necessity.
Okay.
It will have a room in a different list, but it's not a necessity. So this is list number one. And these are all the things that no matter what happened, you need to find a place for them. The second list is the list of all the things that you always wished you had time for. So your side hustle goes here,
okay.
Basically. This is something because you always wish you'd had more time for it. You always wish that if I could invest more hours, I would.
Okay.
Probably getting fitter or keeping up with your health, probably maybe learning a new language, maybe reading more books, maybe learning something new, maybe traveling more. These are all valid options. And most people, usually this list is the shortest one. So if you, I want to challenge you all to write at least 20 things in this list.
In number two, in what you wish you had time for?
Yeah, what you wish you had time for. Because the first thing that we cut out whenever we're in time crunch and we don't have enough time for everything is to lower our expectations from ourselves. So it's like, if I can just do my responsibilities, I don't need to learn a new language. I don't need to, travel Europe. I don't need to go to more dates with my husband. I don't need all that. As long as I can just fit in all the things that I absolutely have to do, I'm going to be fine. And it's not true because the void within yourself stays.
Okay.
So outline.
Put it all out there. Okay.
Yeah. Just write it down. It doesn't mean that you're going to have to do all that, but just put it out there. Admit to yourself that this is something that you want. The third and final list to clarity is the list of all your routines. So all these little things that you do on a daily or a weekly basis that take up time without you even noticing. So if you visit your parents every week for a nice meal with everyone, with your kids, with everyone. If you take your dog for a walk every evening or every morning, if you go to the gym regularly, anything you do regularly goes into this list.
Okay.
And once you're done with these three lists, what you have is kind of the outline of like anything you will be doing during your life for the next 3 months is going to fall inside one of these lists. So you have everything that you're going to invest your time in outlined. And once you have that, you suddenly start realizing, okay, so if I have my work, which I work from 9-to-5 or whenever to whenever, how can I make this time work for my side hustle? And here I want to talk about four types of tasks that you will ever have in your day, because not all the things that we do in a day are equal. Not all are equally important. Not all are equally urgent. And to explain this, I want to kind of briefly remind everyone probably of a story that you all heard when talking about time management, the professor and the vase that he filled with boulders and then pebbles and then sand and then water.
Do you guys know this story? We're going to use this analogy for the rest of the call. So basically, professor stands in front of the class. He's got a jar full of boulders, big rocks in this case. I don't know how you're going to fit a boulder in a jar. He holds up the jar and says, hey, is this jar full? The students all say yes. He goes on to prove them wrong by dumping a bunch of pebbles into the jar. And then he asks them again. And he says, hey, is this jar full? Not recognizing the pattern yet. The students say, yes, it's full. Then he proceeds to dump in a bunch of sand, which fills in the gaps around the boulders and pebbles, and
you know, it still fills up even more. He asks the students, now is the jar full? And of course they say yes, still not seeing the pattern. And finally he dumps in a bunch of water, which fills in the tiny gaps in between the sand, the boulders, and the pebbles. And now the jar is completely full. So we're going to use this analogy for the remainder of the call and thinking of your tasks as boulder tasks, pebble tasks, and sand and water. So I think this is kind of a cool way to look at it. And we'll get back to Julie.
So these are the four types of tasks, types of things you do in a day. You have the boulders. The boulders are the things that are very important or very urgent. For example, if you have a task at work, if you need to hand out a paper for college, if you need to pick up your kids from school, anything that if it doesn't happen today, you will have serious consequences. Now, the way to determine if something in your day is a boulder is to ask yourself two questions. Does this have to happen today? And you know that it has to happen today if you absolutely positively cannot do this tomorrow at 5 a.m. Like someone will notice, something okay. will happen. And question number two, do I have to be the one to do it? So for example, if something happens, your car breaks down and you can't pick up the kids, can you call your wife to pick them instead? Is it possible? Now, it doesn't mean that you should tell your wife, well, honey, from now on, I'm not picking up the kids.
I'm outsourcing this job.
I'm outsourcing. Yeah, it's not going to happen. No, this is not what we're talking about. But by understanding if something is an absolute must, a boulder task or not, will allow you to make faster, quicker, better decisions during your day. Let's talk a bit about daily planning and why this is going to save your business.
Let's do it.
So daily planning is a really simple platform, framework of how you should treat your tasks versus your time. And the thing is that you always have a choice. You choose everything and anything that happens in your day. Well, obviously, I'm not talking about hurricanes and car accidents and all that, okay? So no unnatural forces involved here. But whenever you make a choice to do or not do something, this is something that is your responsibility.
So I feel like a lot of the, especially like the boulder tasks, there's a feeling of disempowerment. There's a feeling of like, I don't have control over this. I don't have control over my own destiny, or I don't have control over a large majority of my hours because those have already been committed.
Because you decided that all the time that you have from 9 to 5 during your work is dedicated to this work, you will never think about using this time to anything other than that. So those of you who work in bigger buildings and you go maybe to across the hall to a meeting, or maybe you drive to a client, or maybe you sometimes need to wait for your client to arrive for a meeting and you wait maybe 3 or 4 minutes. These 3 or 4 minutes are an amazing opportunity to make some phone calls to potential clients of your side hustle. You can listen to an audiobook that teaches you how to market. So when you're back home, you don't need to learn something new. You can actually implement something that you've been waiting for and craving for all day long. And instead of making it a tedious task that you have to do because you have to get on with your side hustle, it's actually a reward that you're waiting for by the end of your day.
Okay, so this would be, you know, these 2 or 3 minute chunks would be kind of like the sand and the water in the jar.
Yeah,
They're filling in the gaps. Okay.
Yeah, exactly. So all the time that you have, if you stop looking at it as my day job time and you start looking at it as my time, every time that you can get a bit more efficient, maybe hand in your report a bit earlier and maybe have a bit more time for yourself, this is time that you can invest in your side hustle. This is also time, hear me out here, that you can invest in, God forbid, resting for a couple of minutes and maybe coming back home not completely wiped out, which will also contribute to how well you can perform in those few hours that you have for your side hustle. The best thing that I can suggest to you is to take all your sand and water tasks. And sand and water tasks are tasks that are small. They don't take a lot of time. They can be done in parallel to something else. So, for example, phone calls that you can make from your car phone while you're driving or in traffic or walking the dog or listening to a podcast, whatever it is. And the difference between sand task and water task is that a sand task has some sort of a deadline. So it has to get done sometimes. It doesn't need to happen today, but there will come a day that this will become urgent. While water tasks are just things that if they don't happen, so they just don't happen. You just don't get their benefit, but there will not be consequences. For example, learning more about marketing. You don't have a test, so you can't fail it, but it will probably do you good if you actually learned a bit more, if this is something that your business needs.
Okay, okay. It's a nice to have, but there's no definitive deadline on it.
Exactly.
Okay.
No one is going to know like that you failed to complete this task, but you will know, and this sometimes it's worse. We explained the boulder, the sand, and the water. All we are left with are the pebbles. The pebbles are all these nice-to-have tasks that are not really nice-to-have. They're actually important. So, for example, if you need to submit a report by next week, you can postpone it until it becomes a boulder the night before, because then there will be consequences if you don't do it today, or you can start working on it right now. So these are all the things that are important, that need to happen. They have a deadline, they have a consequences, but they're not super urgent or super important for this particular day today. And these are the four types of tasks. Now, what I want you to do with your daily planning, and we were talking about why it's important to plan your days, because we want to daily planning, once you master it, takes you 10 minutes. 10 minutes a day. These 10 minutes allow you to save hours during your day by not having to make so many judgment calls and so many decisions. How's that? Here's how. You start by outlining all the things that you think that you need to do. Everything. Home-related, work-related, laundry, grocery shopping, your side hustle, everything. Even stuff that, like, when you write them down, you realize, well, they're not going to happen today. Write them down.
Okay.
Outline everything. Take everything out of your brain and dump it on this piece of paper.
Do you do this first thing in the morning, or do you do it the day before?
This is an interesting question. So people usually like doing it in the evenings because they like waking up knowing what they're going to do, like kind of jumping into the day and like going head first.
Yeah.
However, if you know that you're the type of person that during the evenings you're completely wiped out, probably this will prevent you from doing this in the evening. You will postpone it, and you will tell yourself, well, I'm going to do it just a bit later, and I'm so wiped out, and you will end up not doing it at all. So if you are one of those people, do it in the morning. First thing when you go to work, like you arrived, no coffee, no Facebook, no working, no talking, no nothing, 10 minutes, daily planning, boom, you're ready for the day.
Okay.
This is your pact with your brain. You promise your brain that you will outline everything and everything will be accounted for on this piece of paper, and your brain will stop bugging you and reminding you in the middle of the shower, oh man, we have to write this awesome blog post. Wait a minute. We have to write it down right now.
Yeah, this has been really helpful for me just in the past few months of starting and actually doing it the night before. Hey, these are my top, you know, priorities for the next day. These are the things I know I'm going to work on, you know, first thing. And it kind of removes that anxiety over like, what should I do? And even as emails come in, as distractions come up, it's like, hey, that, you know, that's great. And I'm going to get to that when I get to it. But, you know, I gotta knock out my list first. That's been really helpful. And this was from one of your very early Time Hackers episodes. It was like, hey, once you write down those priorities and you look back at the end of the day, and if you didn't get them done, by definition, that must not have been a priority. Otherwise, you would have gotten it done. And so I thought that was like, okay. And then you got to learn from that, from the next time. And if something keeps showing up on your list and it doesn't get done, it's like, who are you trying to fool? Like, you know, if it was really, really a pressing issue, like you would find the time for it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If it didn't happen, like I oftentimes get this type of question from my clients, and they're like, well, I have this task and I've been postponing it. It's been carrying it from one day to the other to the third for like 2 weeks, and I don't know where to find the time to squeeze it in. And they always get the same answer from me. Do you really need to do that?
Yeah, just scratch it off.
It's been 2 weeks. How urgent can it be? Just let it go.
Yeah, and I've started to do that with certain projects that, like, you know, are on the list, and it's just, you know, it's one of those, you know, it's a water task. It would be fun. It would be nice to do, but yeah, it's not a make or break kind of a deal. And so, you know, if it's been sitting on there for a month and hasn't been acted on, you know, odds are it's really not that important.
Yeah, and you know what? Even if it becomes important in a month from now, you can always, like, write it back.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't need to keep on staring at it every day, feeling guilty. No point.
Yeah, yeah, there is definitely the guilt of the uncrossed off to-do list item. So let's talk about the prioritization then.
Not there yet.
Okay.
But we'll be there soon. So you wrote everything down, first yes. step. Then you answer the two questions to focus. Do I have to do this, and does this have to happen today? So by definition, any task that got yes to both questions is a boulder. That's it. It's a boulder. No questions asked. You need to do it today. Boom.
Okay.
Next, you want to go over your tasks and look at them and ask yourself, is this task a sand or water task? And you know how you can identify it. Deep inside, you know what's a sand or water task. They're small. You can do them while doing something else. And you know what? Even a task like calling your mom, wishing her happy birthday, which is absolutely has to happen today because today is her birthday and tomorrow it's kind of, you know, you're late for the party. But still, if it's a sand task, because it's small, you can do it while you're driving, you can do it while you walk your dog, you can do it in the evening, you can do it whenever. You just need to remember to do it today.
Okay.
So you mark all the things that are sand and water. And by the way, just to make it easier, I prepared a template for your daily planning, which you'll be able to download completely free over at imjulie.com/side hustle.
Oh, cool. Thank you.
Yeah, so you don't actually have to remember this process because the sheet kind of guides you through the questions and through everything, and you'll just be checking in checkboxes. So pretty easy.
Okay.
So what you have now is a sheet of paper with tasks. Some of them are marked as boulders. Some of them are marked as sand or water, and others that are not marked as neither. They are the pebbles. If it's not a boulder and it's not a sand and water task, it's a pebble. Now, what you want to do right now is to take all your sand and water tasks, cross them off your sheet, and write them down on a piece of paper, in your notebook, on your calendar app, on your reminders app, on a list app, on something that is always with you. So if you're a person that's always with your phone, write it on some sort of a list app on your phone. So what I do, I just take up my phone, open my sand and water task list, and just do the first thing there. I don't need to think about it. I already have it with me.
Which app do you like?
I use the iPhone Reminders. I also am a huge fan of the Clear app. It's
Clear.
Super easy. Yeah, it's just a list, an app for your list making. It's easy. It has a few tiers, so you can, like, make a list within a list if you want to.
Okay.
It's colorful. It just works.
All right.
It's not smart. It just works.
All right. We'll link see that up in the show notes for sure.
Awesome. For many of my clients, just the simple reminders on their phone works just as well. So just use whatever you have. It's not a biggie. It's
okay.
Just a list. The important thing, though, is that you will always have it with you. Now, you're left with boulders and pebbles on your daily planning sheet, right?
Yes.
So what you want to do now is the time that you need to start prioritizing. But you can't prioritize a boulder versus a pebble because a boulder always comes first. Your boulders will always be more important than anything on your pebbles list. What you want to do, you want to start by prioritizing first your boulders and then your pebbles. So if you have 5 boulders, the most important pebble can only be priority number 6 because the boulders come first. So how do you prioritize? It's actually super duper easy. If you could do only one thing out of all these 5, and I know everything is important, everything is a boulder, everything will have consequences. I get that. But if you can do only one thing out of these 5, what will it be? So you continue doing this until you run out of your boulders. So, okay, so I did this one thing, but if I can do only one of the 4 that I have in front of me, what will I do? this is priority number two, and so on until you're done with all your boulders, and then you repeat the same thing for your pebbles. And now you have a prioritized list of everything. And the great thing about having priority, because many people think that you need to prioritize to realize what's really important and then choose to do only that. That's BS. This is not why you prioritize. You prioritize because life is going to do things to you that you cannot anticipate. Shit is going to hit the fan. This is going to happen.
It always does.
Yeah, and it will. Like, just accept it. It's going to happen. Things are going to go off script. And you know what makes an amazing actor on Broadway? If you can improvise. And making this process of prioritizing allows you to improvise when shit hits the fan. Because when your wife is going to call you telling, honey, my car broke down, can you please pick up the kids from school? You will know exactly which one task you absolutely have to finish before you run off to take your kids from school.
Okay.
You don't need to make all these decisions during the day because you sit down and you make them once.
I asked Julie how she'd go about breaking down some larger tasks. Like, a bolder task to me is something like, you know, writing a book. It's broken up into a lot of small parts. And she came back with the rule of three, which is going to help break down some of these larger projects.
The rule of three says that every task has a prep phase, the task phase, and the wrap phase. So prep, task, wrap. What does it mean? For example, if I need to have a meeting with a client and it's on the side of the client, so I have 60 minutes with the client, right? So this is the task itself. I have a prep because I need to print out documents. I need to make sure that I have everything and I need to drive there. This is a part of the big task that is to meet the client. It's the prep for this task.
Okay.
The wrap for the task is to drive back in rush hour probably and to create a summary of this meeting. So we have prep, task, and wrap. So if you have no idea how to break your task into subtasks, this is where you start. And okay. This will give you an idea for everything else.
Okay. Prep is like outlining my blog post. Task is actually writing it. And then wrap is like, you know, posting it on Facebook or something.
Outlining and research, writing the actual text and perhaps editing it as well. And like making sure that you don't have syntax errors and stuff like that. And then publishing and sharing on social media and all that good stuff.
Okay.
So yeah, so now you have a list of all the things that you want to do. You know, you have the priority in which order you want to do them, and you know how long they're going to take. This is when you actually open your calendar, look at what's going on there, and start putting things according to their priority from your daily planning onto your calendar.
Yeah, you may have more things on your list than there are available time slots. But no, I live and die by my Google Calendar, and I've started like even blocking off time to do certain things. It's been really helpful.
And now what happens is that you need to follow through. So this is the easiest part, right?
Not always.
Not ever. This is the hardest part. This is where life comes and tells you, you know what? I don't think so. I really don't. And what is amazing is that when you start planning out your day, and you will be aware to what things you actually accomplish. So you will start seeing more and more patterns. When you have your priorities, you will suddenly start feeling a lot more happy during your day, because you will always know what's the next thing that you need to do. As it goes for your time at home, the first thing that you need to do if you start daily planning is to go to your loved ones, the people that live with you in the home, in your home, and tell them that you're doing that and agree on a set of rules. So for example, honey, if I'm in our, like if you don't have a study, or if you just work in the dining room or maybe the master bedroom, tell honey, if the door is closed, it means I'm working on my side hustle and I really need to concentrate because I have only 40 minutes a day to do that.
Okay.
Tell it to your kids. Put a sign. You can agree on fun things. Then you will actually have more time to spend with your family and with your kids, because when you'll be with them, you'll be only with them. You won't be thinking, oh, really? I really should be working on my side hustle. No, because you had a time slot for that and you filled it. You're good.
Yeah, and I think that's a good way to go about it.
So, Julie, I know we're running long on time on the ironic topic of time management. So let's wrap it up here. If people want to learn more about Time Hackers and Julie, check her out at imjulie.com/sidehustle. Yes. Awesome. Thanks so much for joining me. Tons of great stuff in here about being more efficient and effective with your limited side hustle hours. And we'll wrap it up with your number one tip for Side Hustle Nation.
Admit to yourself that you're awesome and everything else will fall into place.
Well, you are awesome. Thanks so much. We'll catch up with you soon.
Okay. Bye-bye.
This edition of the Side Hustle Show is brought to you by Audible, the world's largest selection of audiobooks with more than 180,000 titles to choose from, including 80/20 Sales and Marketing that I mentioned at the top of the show, and a whole host of other productivity books. So Side Hustle Show listeners can get not one, but two free audiobooks when you sign up for a free trial through sidehustlenation.com/audible. Now, listening back to this recording again, a few things really stood out. The first was that I really liked Julie's chess analogy. And like she said, apologies to chess professionals out there. Like, your first move doesn't matter, and probably more so in business than in chess. Your first move really doesn't matter. It's all about trying to get a response from your opponent, from your potential customer, from your podcast listener, from your blog reader. I thought that was really, really a smart way to position, like, hey, if I don't know what to do, I just got to do something and figure out what the reaction to that is going to be. So I've also been thinking about the boulders in the jar. And I wanted to give an example of what a sand or water task might look like in my day. So for me, I have oftentimes I have a few minutes in between meetings, in between podcast recordings or client meetings. And those are the perfect times to fill with sand and water tasks, you know, kind of between 5 and 15 minutes, and sometimes even less. So I tend to fill those with items like going through my Feedly blog reader to catch up on new posts. I use that to refill my, you know, buffer stream for Twitter. I'm replying to blog comments on Side Hustle Nation. I'm monitoring the Side Hustle Nation Facebook group. And the commonality between these tasks are that none of them are particularly pressing, right? The world is going to keep on spinning if they don't get done. But they're quick, they're easy, and they don't take very much time. So they're great to fill in those little sand and water gaps, you know, in my day. And I imagine you probably have similar tasks for your side hustle as well. And finally, I've been thinking about the trifecta, the prep, task, wrap trifecta, and more so from the perspective of outsourcing opportunities. Like, what might, especially in the prep and wrap phases, like, do these require my direct involvement? Do I have to do all this stuff myself all the time, or can I get some help where it makes sense? And there may be some similar opportunities in your side hustle or in your day job to say, hey, if my task has these three phases, you know, maybe I can, maybe I don't have to do all every single one of those myself. So be sure to check imjulie.com/sidehustle for Julie's free daily planning template, and head over to sidehustlenation.com/123/123 to grab the free downloadable PDF with all the notes and highlights from this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening. Until next time, let's go out there, make something happen, and I'll see you in the next edition of The Side Hustle Show. Hustle on.
Thanks for listening to The Side Hustle Show at www.sidehustlenation.com.